Do you love that? Charles Holt. He played in Lion King. Are you ready? Are you ready for that change? Are you ready to build on our tomorrows today? Because that's what we're going to talk about today. But that's a powerful song. I forgive. I'm ready for my change. I forgive me for that past. It's like breathe into that. I love that song. I listen to it often. See, our willingness to build our tomorrow today begins with our willingness to change our mind and let the past be behind us and let go and let God. Now, this talk might be short, which might surprise you, but if it is, then Peter's going to go around and you can ask questions about what I'm talking about today. Because sometimes I think that when we can ask questions on how we use these principles, how we use this thinking, is very important. So our willingness to think differently is that empowers us. And building our tomorrow begins with forgiveness. It begins with letting go of the past. And today, we let go of any blame or any shame that has brought us to this moment. Because you see, if we want to go forward, if we want to move beyond where we are today, we've got to let go. And if you don't think that's possible, then take a canceled check and go to the bank and try to cash it. They say, I'm sorry, somebody already took this money out. We have to be willing to let go of what's already happened and begin anew. Today, as we honor ourselves, as we learn to honor ourselves in a greater way than ever before, we truly plant the seeds for our tomorrow. We must choose to do today differently if we desire a different outcome. So I have a story for you this morning. And I think this kind of explains it. And it's from this cute little book by Alan Cohen, Wisdom of the Heart. And it's entitled, Deliver Your Gift. A poet felt ill and complained to his doctor. I have a rash and my joints ache, and I get headaches, and I can't sleep at night. I feel irritable, and I'm depressed. And the doctor thought for a moment, and he asked, when was the last time you recited your poetry? Several months ago, the poet answered. Have you read any of your latest poems aloud? Not really, he said. Then go ahead and share your favorite poem with me now, the doctor requested. All right, the poet said. And then he stood up and he gave a compelling soliloquy. Excellent, the doctor congratulated him. May I hear another? The poet recited another piece of his work. Keep going, the doctor kept encouraging him. After the poet had delivered several more of his poems, the doctor asked, how do you feel now? Startled, the poet realized that he felt much better. I feel wonderful, he announced. Then go home and continue this, the doctor prescribed. When you shut down your spirit, you shut down your body. If you keep expressing yourself, you'll be just fine. It's up to each one of us to keep expressing ourselves in a positive way. And we do that by encouraging ourselves. I can do that. I'm willing to be the change that I desire. Did you say that to yourself this morning? Good. I see Tony going, yeah, I did. Cool. You see, because we each must find and claim our own inner core of power. I talk about this often, so I'll talk about it again today. It is alive in each one of us. It is the core of our being. This is the place within where we connect to our own divine nature. And we get to live from it, if we so choose. You see, writers tap into this. Musicians play from this. Dancers dance from it. Singers sing from it. It is the sacred center of self. It is the place that was never harmed or never hurt. It is the place that is holy and powerful within each one of us. It is the core of everyone, whether you know it or not. It's up to us to awaken to it and awaken it within us, to claim it, to accept it, to say, wait a second, the past has no power. The core of my being is sacred and holy. And to give ourselves permission to live from our divine self. If we want our tomorrows to be different, I don't know about you, but I do. We have to begin today with what can I do differently that can plant the seed for tomorrow to be even better and even greater. And we begin with our commitment to our own salvation, to our own uplifting, because I'm telling you, if we wait for somebody else to do that, we're going to wait for that bus for a long time. Because nobody else can do it for us like we can do it for ourselves, because nobody else can possibly know what sings our heart. Loving ourselves has great value. And if not you, then who's going to do this? You could ask the person sitting next to you, will you love me today? They might. If not now, when? When would you want to mark the calendar that you're willing to start this? See, I invite each one of us today to be the joy, to be the joy of who and whose you really are. Individual creation of the Most High God. That's who you are. This is our true inheritance. This is our divine birthright. This is our nature. Yeah. Sometimes we forget it. Sometimes we overlook it. So we need to forgive whatever we've called ourselves or whatever we've believed about ourselves, because that's a canceled check. We need to stop and celebrate who we are. I put it in today's takeaway, which is the little pink sheet. You know, I do this every week so that you have something that you can take home, that you can read, that you can remember, and build your tomorrows today. This comes from our founder, Ernest Holmes. When we awaken to the divine within us, it will reach out and embrace everything around us. It will touch and change our home life, and it will discover the same presence in people, in events, and in all of nature. For God is not separate from what Spirit is doing. The divine life is within everyone and everything. And the affirmation on the other side is, today I embrace this day with joy. I am an instrument of love and light. Today I consciously and powerfully let go of the past, forgive myself, and today I create my life from love, joy, and celebration. I guarantee if you read this and take it with you, that shift that will take place in your own belief system when you call yourself something less, you will say, oh, right, I'm planting seeds. I'm building for tomorrow. So let's have Peter go around. If there's something, a question, it doesn't have to do with this talk, but it has to do with just anything that you're wanting to ask and you're afraid to ask. Now you get to do it publicly. Anyone? Anything? Do we all understand what we just talked about? Does it make sense? Nobody? You are all great students. Oh, there's one in the back.
There's a hand back in the back.
Since we can't change others, how do we go about changing myself to either accept or look with more love on bad actions or unlight actions?
I'm not hearing that very well. Say it. No. What does he say? Did you hear it, Peter?
Since he can't change others.
Put your microphone
Since up. He can't change others, what can he do for himself to accept
Right. Yeah, right. One of the things that I like is to realize that, number one, if everybody has that same inner power, that same inner wisdom that I talk about, which is the sacred center of self, then we have to see it within them. And it's almost like, okay, God, what do I need to do here? This is what we can ask. Ask and you shall receive. We forget that. And when we're in a difficult situation or a situation that's challenging us, we want to say, help me to see this differently. What can I do to make this be different? And it's like honoring ourselves. One of the things I do, which when I am confused, and I know you're surprised at this, but I do get confused. Look, life has its challenges. And when we're challenged, we want to pick up a book like this. This is this thing called You. I love this book. You can tell I love it. I probably have 5 copies everywhere, one in my office. And one of the pages I'll just open up that I say, I have a sticky that says great, okay? Because I need to be reminded first before I make any action. And here's one of the things. The answers to your problems lie not in God's willingness, but in your ability to believe. Certain statements repeated over and over again help you to believe. Gradually, these statements sink into consciousness, changing your mental reactions from negative to positive. So say, I know that there's an answer. There's an answer, and for me right now is to bless and love myself and to take some time to just sink in to that spiritual essence that is your being. Does that make sense? Work with it. It'll work with you. Because when we ask, we do receive. Yeah?
Okay. Well, so every area of my life is amazing, but one area. But like you know, my work is off the hook. I'm so blessed with everything, the community, my work. But there's one area, and in that one area, I use affirmations, I think about it all the time, and somehow it doesn't seem to shift, or it's not where I want it to be. So, and I, you know, I meditate, I journal and everything, and so if there's an area, like one area, like everything's good, but that
everything
one area.
Everything is good, but that one
that
area.
That one area, it's like sometimes I'm like, what do I do? How do I make that shift?
All right. One of the things that when people say, well, there's only one area, and usually there's only one area, I like to think of us as an extra large pizza. Okay, everybody understand an extra large pizza? It's got all these slices. And so all of these slices are really good. They're really keyed in. They know what to do. But that one piece is really rebellious and won't come into alignment. Is that how it feels? So you have everything already present for you. So ask all of those other pieces of pizza that are so lined up for the good and blesses you. Ask them to support you in loving that part of you that feels less. And bring that part of you, that piece of pizza that's kind of rebellious, into the rest of the family, the whole pizza. Do you get what I'm saying? Because when we look at one part of us or an aspect of us that seems to be limited or less, we really set that part out, don't we? We go, well, this is all working, but that part, if I could just, you know, do away with it or whatever, or let somebody else eat it, I would be just fine. But you wouldn't be a whole pizza. You wouldn't be the whole person that you are. So whatever this that's challenging you is there for you. Okay? So love it, bless it, renew it, refresh it, remind it. Wait a second. You are valuable. You are loved. And let the all of you love that part. Does that make sense? Okay? Work with that. And let me know. Guarantee you. And we'll also keep you in prayer, Richard. Yes? Okay. Anybody else? These are good questions, you guys. Anything? You don't have to have a question. But I got a gajillion answers. Good.
Can you talk a little bit about the value of being safe?
Value of being safe.
Safe, that you know you're safe.
Yeah. Peter said to me, he said, you told me one time I was safe. It took him a while to know that. The value of being safe really means that we honor ourselves. It means that we make a commitment to ourselves to not allow any harm or any hurt or any limitation to come to us or reveal to us that we're less than. And so that takes some inner work. And that also takes some questioning. How do I keep myself unsafe? When we find ourselves after being in a situation or circumstance, and we're angry about it. Anybody ever have that? And we said, oh, I wish I would have said this, or I wish I would have just hit him, you know? But anyway, we don't hit. But we come away wishing that it would have been different. So that's where the key is. We need to ask ourselves, what would I have liked to have said instead? Because when we're in those situations that we don't speak up for ourselves from loving kindness, we feel unsafe, don't we? We feel less than. I learned this years ago because I was in a situation that really hurt my feelings. And so I spent the morning praying for these two people that I thought were very mean. And then I was going to go out for my bike ride. Spirit said, sit down. And I said, but I prayed for them. Spirit said, sit down. Spirit said, what would you have liked to have said to them? So I had to think about it because nobody had ever asked me what would I have liked to have said instead. You see, because I used to, believe this or not, I used to be quiet. I at least didn't speak up for myself. And so Spirit said, what would you have liked to have said? And I said, I would have liked to have said, excuse me, it's my turn to share. I don't need to be fixed. I just need to be listened to. Excuse me. It's my turn to share. I don't need to be fixed. I just like to be listened to. Notice there's no energy, there's no blame, there's no shame for the other people. Spirit said, then practice that. And I said, what? I forgave them. No, I hadn't. So I went out and rode my bike. I must have said, excuse me, it's my turn to share. I don't need to be fixed. I just need to be listened to. Notice how easily that rolls off my tongue. Because you see, these muscles didn't know how to say that. And so I rode my bike and I kept saying it over and over and over again. So the next time I got with these people, nothing like that ever happened again. The reason it didn't happen again was because I was ready to speak from a loving place. What would you like to say? I don't need to be fixed. I just need to be listened to. Thank you for sharing. Without any energy, what we're doing then is we're making a safe place for us to be the unique expression. Everybody's not going to like who we are. Surprise. but that's okay. We have to like who we are. Okay? Good? Let's wrap this up. I think we wrap it up. Good. We'll do this again. Okay? So, thank you all for coming, and we're going to play this song now because if I pray, we'll really go over. Okay. Go ahead.